When you drive game, you damn well better be sure that the one you're driving the prey toward is ready and able to handle it. I ducked around the next corner maybe half a second before the guns behind me coughed and burped again, chewing chips of brick from the wall. There was a steel door on the side of the building, an exit-only door with no handle on the outside. I couldn't stay ahead of the gruffs for long. I took a chance, stopped, and pressed my hand against the door, hoping like hell it had a push-bar opening mechanism and not a deadbolt. Something went right. I felt the bar on the other side, reached out with my will, and another murmur,
"Forzare,"
and directed the force against the other side of the door. It popped open. I went through and pulled it shut behind me. The building was dark, silent, and almost uncomfortably warm in contrast with the night outside. I leaned my head against the metal door for a second, panting. "Good door," I wheezed. "Nice door, nice, locked, hostile to Fairy's door." My ear was in contact with the door, and it was the only reason I heard the movement immediately on its other side. Snow crunched quietly. I froze in place. I heard a scraping sound and a snorted breath that sounded like something you'd hear from a horse, and then nothing. It took me maybe 3 seconds to realize that the gruff on the other side of the door was doing the same thing I was, listening to see if he could hear who was on the other side. It couldn't have been more than 6 inches away, and I was standing there in complete darkness. If something went wrong and the gruff came in after me, I could forget running. I couldn't see the floor, the walls, or any obstacles that might trip me up, like stairs or a mound of rusty razor blades. I froze, not daring to move. Metal door or not, if the gruff had the right submachine gun and the right kind of ammunition, he could riddle me with holes right through the steel. There was no telling what other weapons he might be packing either. I'd once seen a sobering demonstration of how to skewer someone on a sword from the other side of a metal door, and it hadn't been pretty. So I stood very still and tried to think quietly. It was about then that I remembered one of those movies with the maniac in the ghost mask where one of the kids in the opening segment leans against a bathroom stall, listening exactly the same way I was. The killer, in the neighboring stall, rams a knife into the victim's ear. It was a panic-inducing thought, and suddenly I had to fight the urge to bolt. My ear began to itch furiously. If I hadn't known that the gruffs were trying to flush me out like a rabbit from his briar patch, I might not have managed to keep my cool. It was a near thing, but I did it. A week and a half went by before I heard another exhalation from a larger-than-human chest and a pair of quick, light crunches of cloven hooves on snow. I pushed away from the door as silently as I could, trembling with adrenaline, fatigue, and cold. I had to think ahead of these assholes if I wanted to get out in one piece. Inky, Binky, and Pinky knew I'd come in here, and they weren't about to give up the chase. Right now, one of them was watching the door I'd come in to make sure I didn't backtrack. The other two were circling the building, looking for a way in. I was pretty sure I didn't want to be hanging around when they found it. I drew off the pentacle amulet I wore around my neck, murmured, and made a tiny effort of will. The amulet began to glow with gentle blue light. I stood in a utility corridor of some kind. Bare concrete floor met unpainted drywall. There were a couple of doors on the right side of the hall and another one at the far end. I checked them out. The first door opened into a room containing several commercial-grade heating and air conditioning units, all hooked up to a ductwork octopus. No help there. The next room was padlocked shut. I felt a little bad for doing it, but I lifted my staff, took a moment to close my eyes and concentrate, and then sent another pulse of energy down the rune-carved length of wood, this time focused into a blade of pure force. It sliced through the hasp and bit into the heavy wood of the door behind it. The lock fell to the floor, its cleanly severed steel glowing dull orange at the edges. The room beyond was probably the workshop of the building's handyman. It wasn't large, but it was neatly organized. It held a woodworking bench, tools, and various supplies, light bulbs, air filters for the units next door, replacement parts for doors, sinks, and toilets. I availed myself of a few things and dropped my last 220s onto the workbench by way of apology. Then I stalked back out into the hallway and continued into the building. The next door was locked, too. I jimmied it open with a crowbar I'd taken from the tool room. It made some noise.